is no one behind us, is there? Yeah, full throttle. Straight ahead. What, it's in reverse? It's in reverse? Oh, Lord, no! All right, that was the woke idiot British Navy there ramming a minesweeper into another naval vessel at a docked port. I mean, they're not even on the open seas. And they ram into each other. Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News from Monday, January 22nd, 2024. Yes, we are watching the results of the woke idiot Royal Navy, which, of course, is just about as impressive as the woke idiot United States Navy, also good at ramming each other. I mean, these naval officers sail their ships like a Chinese woman backing out of a crowded 7-Eleven parking lot. This is like, I don't know anyone behind me. You guys just go slam it. And it, yeah, that's not racist because I lived in Taiwan. I saw that with my own eyes. Well, folks, we are most definitely entering the idiocracy phase of the collapse of Western nations and Western culture, sadly, Western civilization. This idiocracy phase is, I mean, it's tragic. It's also comedy gold in a way. It's clown show every day, whether it's, you know, the FAA hiring, severely cognitively impaired individuals. And then in the skies, like airplane engines are on fire on commercial jets flying over Miami, just blowing flames out the back. It's like, yeah, that's an FAA safety function. Who's the FAA hiring again? Oh, yeah. People with the lowest IQ possible and also people with severe psychiatric disorders. But this is happening across, of course, the military, the government, academia. You know what? The president, was it Harvard? What was her name? Gay? She was a serial plagiarist. She got to be the president of the school. I think it was Harvard. Just by copying and pasting everybody else's work. And she got away with it because of DEI. Because, you know, well, she was the right gender. She had the right skin color. She spoke for the right causes. So doesn't matter if she didn't do any of her own work. She just plagiarized her way to the top. And now we're seeing it in the military and in the British military. And, you know, it's hilarious to me. Oh, and Germany is also very, very bad in this way. In Germany, the way you get promoted is to be the biggest woke idiot possible. I mean, I'm talking about in government or in the German military, which is almost non-functional at this point. Those of you in Germany, you know what I'm talking about. But woke idiocy has taken over Western culture. And it's hilarious to me to think that these nations and these leaders, they think they're going to go to war with Russia and beat Russia in a war. And oh my gosh, are they in for a surprise? Maybe we'll get to that today. But one of the big themes today, and we'll get to the news about Trump and DeSantis, that's big news. But one of the main themes today is that Western civilization can't function because it has become, well, quote, gender fluid in everything. In the military, it's all gender fluid. It's like, we're ready for war because we self-identify as a military that's ready for war, even when they're not. It's gender fluid in economics. It's like, we could just print money forever because we self-identify as a nation that doesn't have a debt problem. You know, it's gender fluid in truth and facts. It's, we're the fact checkers, and everything they fact check is a lie or a propaganda narrative, and they know it. But they just say that, well, these statements are lies that self-identify as facts, you know, that's, and then they become fact checkers. But it's everything. It's elections, like the stolen 2020 election. Well, guess what? We have a non-elected senile dementia patient who self-identifies as the president of the United States. His name is Joe Biden. And we're going to self-identify as a nation where Democrats won, even though, of course, nobody is really voting for Democrats, except, I don't know, a few radicals on the West Coast and the East Coast. But by and large, nobody's voting for Democrats. It's just like in Canada. Who's voting for Justin Trudeau? Or, you know, I mean, Trudeau doesn't represent the views of any Canadians. Same thing's true in the UK. Same thing's true in Germany. Same thing is true in France. These so-called leaders do not represent the views of the people that they claim to represent. And so, of course, people everywhere are pulling their hair out. It's like, gosh, I thought that if we got a chance to vote, that the leaders would represent the will of the people. But of course, you know, you're listening to this podcast, you know that the will of the people is never allowed to emerge in these tyrannical authoritarian societies. One more story about the woke idiots in the military here. This is from the National Post. A maintenance crew left a flashlight in the engine of an F-35. Okay, and then when they powered up the engine, you can imagine what happened. I mean, think delicate turbines spinning at, I don't know, what, 20,000 RPMs or whatever they spin at, 25,000 RPMs. And then introduce a flashlight into that whirlwind of spinning metal, and it just goes and everything shatters. And it was a $14 million mistake that totaled the aircraft. This was at the Luke Air Force Base outside Glendale, Arizona. An F-35 fighter jet on a U.S. Air Force base. It was valued at $14 million. It's toast. Maybe they could save the tires, you know, or pieces of the windshield. I don't know. There's a part of a wing. We could auction it on eBay. Let's see. Further probing led to the startling discovery of significant damage to the engine, the $14 million engine. The maintainer conceded, quote, "I believe I just ingested a flashlight." The maintainer crew member failed to clear the inlet of foreign objects after completing the required inspections for an engine run after they exited the aircraft inlet. That's another way to say dumbass woke idiot crawled out of the engine compartment there and just left a bunch of stuff behind. And then they turned on the engine. What did you think was going to happen? I'm sure if they probed further, it'd be like, yeah, I left a flashlight and my mobile phone and some keys. And I think a boot, maybe a headband and my ear pods. I think they got sucked into the engine as well. I'm lucky to get out of there in one piece, but I can just see the headline at the Atlantic now. Russian saboteur agent self-identifies as maintenance crew to sabotage U.S. Air Force aircraft without firing a single shot. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the Russians. It couldn't be woke idiots inside the military. No, it's got to be Russians. Guys, let me give you a little $14 million tip, okay, from a guy who lives in rural Texas and has to feed the goats and the chickens. Wear a headlight on your head, okay? You're not going to leave it behind because it's attached to your head. And if you do drop it, you will notice it because it will fall off your head. And you will suddenly discover that you can't see anything. So put a headlight on your head. I just saved the Air Force $14 million. And by the way, can you imagine what maintenance is going to be like if the U.S. sends F-16s to Ukraine and tries to put them in the field there with a bunch of newbie aircraft maintenance personnel who have never done that before and don't even speak English? I mean, look, nothing against Ukrainian people because, you know, honestly, Ukrainian people are some of the smartest people in the world. There's no question about that. I mean, just to be clear, they're smart people, but maintaining an F-16 is a very complex thing. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna screw it up. And I mean, if they send 100 F-16s to Ukraine after maintenance, there might only be 80 left. It's like, what happened to the other 20? Well, you know, maintenance got their hands on them. And, well, they ingested flashlights and such. Now we have 80. Well, okay, send the 80 towards Russia. Okay, and then after Russia's anti-air defenses, you know, 20 come back. And like, we have 20 left. What do you want to do with these 20? All right, in other news kind of related to this theme, and we'll move on here shortly, from the New American, medical schools say they'll continue anti-white, anti-Asian discrimination. Well, of course not. So woke medical schools, says the story, are trying to evade the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to stop anti-white, anti-Asian discrimination in admissions. And they're trying to admit unqualified blacks and Hispanics, says this article. The latest report on leftists in academia who will continue illegal discrimination comports with what major universities said after the court ruled against Harvard University and the University of North Carolina in Students for Fair Admissions. That case involved Asian students who said they were unfairly denied admissions to the two universities. Yeah. So they're plotting a loophole for race-based admissions after the Supreme Court banned affirmative action in admissions. So think about this. If you think the Navy is bad or the Air Force is bad or the FAA is bad with all their woke morons, just wait until, I don't know, you need a procedure in a hospital and your doctor is a woke idiot. Doctor's not even qualified. Made it through med school the same way Gay made it to the president of Harvard. Just plagiarizing and copying and begging for understanding because of who I am. Yeah, I don't want that doctor. I mean, I want a doctor who's qualified. Don't get me wrong. There are plenty of qualified doctors who are black, who are Indian, who are Asian, who are Hispanic. I mean, I don't care what ethnicity a person is or what their skin color is or what their country of origin is or what their religion is or even what their gender is. I want them to be competent at being a doctor or an engineer if I'm driving over a bridge, you know, or I want them to be competent in the Navy if they're, you know, driving boats around all the time or aircraft carriers. So when you go to see a doctor coming up, you're not going to know if that doctor graduated from medical school as a woke candidate because they checked all the check boxes or if they actually earned it. And the one thing that you can count on, because the discrimination targets white people and Asian people. So follow along here. Let's use some logic. If you know that medical schools are discriminating against white people and Asian people, and if you have a choice of which doctor you want, knowing this, wouldn't you want to choose either an Asian doctor or a white doctor, knowing that they had to work extra hard to make it through medical school because they're discriminated against, right? So if you think about it, what medical schools are doing by discriminating against whites and Asians is they are forcing informed patients to also consider race in the decision of what doctor they want to visit, because they don't want subpar care from a doctor who was a woke DEI graduate. See, I mean, the medical schools are causing this. They're causing patients to look at graduates and new young doctors who happen to check all the check boxes. Oh, look, this is a transgender doctor. Oh, look, this is a doctor of the right skin color. Oh, look, this is a doctor of, you know, whatever the check boxes are. And then patients are going to say, is that doctor even really qualified? Am I at risk with this doctor? This doctor might kill me because this doctor probably didn't earn their medical degree. And that's just the truth. That's the truth of where we are because of discrimination by medical schools. And you know also that doctors, in order to get through these medical schools today, they have to they have to go along with imaginary biology. Like a patient comes in that's a biological man and says, I identify as a woman and I need you to examine my cervix, you know, and the doctors have to play along like the emperor has no clothes. Oh, your robes are beautiful, flowing robes with golden threads. You're so qualified, emperor, you know. They have to say this to the transgender patient. Oh, your cervix is perfectly healthy and wonderful. You're good to go. Yeah. Get hop on out of here, Mrs. Whatever. Take your cervix on out of here. They have to play along with this. How insane is that? That the woke-tard medical schools force some of the smartest people in society who tend to become doctors, although they are conformists, by the way, the high IQ, but low independent thinking scores, typically high IQ conformists, they're being forced to be turned into woke idiots to practice imaginary medicine. Well, I guess that would qualify them to administer more vaccines because that's also imaginary medicine because vaccines don't prevent infections and don't reduce transmission. We know that now from all the COVID fiasco. So if you think about it, this whole time since polio, vaccines have been imaginary medicine. So I guess the woke medical field isn't a new thing. It's just that now they've expanded it to the cervix. And, you know, imaginary penises and imaginary reproductive organs and imaginary breasts and hormones and whatever. I mean, pretty soon the whole thing is going to be imaginary. I guess you're going to have to walk into your doctor's office. First thing your doctor's going to ask is, tell me what you think you got in terms of hardware. Then you're going to have to say, well, I self-identify as a Siberian, you know, dragon with red wings and a pointy tail. And the doctor's going to say, okay, show me your pointy tail and we'll take a look at that. Now, let's get your heart rate. Now, dragons have a different heart rate than humans. So tell me, what should your heart rate be as a dragon? You know, they're going to have these entire imaginary, just woke-tard conversations with your doctors, and they're going to have to play along. So mainstream, you know, state-licensed medicine is going to be a practice that's carried out, administered by basically psychiatric patients pretending to be doctors, where psychiatric patients pretending to be patients come in and demand imaginary services. This is what medicine is about to become. And then, of course, they're going to bill Medicare and Medicaid for all those services and bill your health insurance company. Yeah, you know, there's a special checkbox. Examine the red dragon vagina, you know? And it's like, that's a very expensive procedure. We had to use special imaging equipment to fit the dragon in there. And they're like, checkbox. Results normal, you know, and what's the fee? $5,000, a dragon examination, you know, that's an expensive procedure. And then if you come in, you know, with symptoms, I don't know, like a cough or a fever, then they're going to give you imaginary stuff like take this imaginary vaccine, you know, whereas the real doctors, the real more old school doctors and complementary medicine people are just like, go home and take ivermectin. You're done. Get out of here. Oh, that's it. Yep. And stop eating a bunch of inflammatory foods and drinking aspartame. You know, geez, it's not that complicated. We truly have an imaginary healthcare system at this point, which is why it barely functions. This is why people that are on all these medications never get any better. Because, I mean, even half the science is all imaginary anyway. They just make it all up and then they push it into the medical journals and no one else can reproduce it. You know, so it's imaginary science. Hey, speaking of science, I promised to tell you what I was doing last week. And honestly, it was a very frustrating week for me. I spent many days in the lab getting training on the gas chromatography triple quad mass spec instrument for dioxide testing. And I have to say, it did not go well. I really barely made any progress because... Well, the instrument wasn't really fully checked out by the setup personnel. And as a result, we did not know the limit of detection, the LOD as it's called. And so I determined that the first thing we needed to do was determine the limit of detection for the specific analytes that we're looking for. Those are the different compounds of dioxins. So the term dioxins refers to a class of molecules, and that class, roughly, you could say it's like 18 or 19 different molecules. 2,3,7,8 TCDD is one of them. It's in a tetra configuration, and the 2,3,7,8 molecules consider the most toxic by far. But there are other molecules that are also different forms of dioxins that are less toxic, and there's actually a toxicity score for each of these molecules. Anyway, we were trying to find the limit of detection of this new instrument, and we ran into a number of issues. And at the end of the day, we're not even sure that we have the right source interface for this, for what we want. We may have to swap this instrument, which it took us almost a year to get the right instrument in place and hooked up and do all the site prep and everything. And then we come to realize it might not be the right instrument, or I should say the right source. So there are different source interfaces to the instrument that they ionize the stream of vapor, which is, you know, your liquid samples turn into gas, and then the gas goes through the chromatography column. But the way that gas is ionized is with a source interface, and there are different source interfaces. And bottom line is, we may not have the right one. Because on the current instrument, the way we were running things, we could not get sub parts per billion sensitivity with a decent signal to noise ratio. And so I spent a lot of days and I got nowhere. And that's, have you ever had that happen in your life, right? It sucks. It's frustrating. So that's what I was doing last week. And sad to say, it did not go very well. But on the good news side of things, over the weekend, I did a lot of work on the AI large language model project, the LLM project, and I made a ton of progress on that. That's going very well. Our data curation pipeline is looking good. I'm not going to go into all details here, but we are on track for that project, on track for a late March release of our first open source, downloadable, free of charge, large language model chatbot that will have special knowledge in herbs and nutrition and natural medicine and off-grid living and permaculture and all these things. And I can't wait for you to get this. You'll be able to download it for free and run it locally. You won't even need an internet connection to run it. It'll work even if the internet goes down. And that project is, it's a lot of fun. It's tons of fun, actually. So I'll bring you more details about that as we make more progress. So let's talk about Ron DeSantis and Donald J. Trump, because DeSantis dropped out of the race yesterday. And this is one of the smartest things DeSantis has ever done. And he said, quote, this was in his video speech announcing his dropping out. He said, quote, we don't have a clear path to victory. Yes, DeSantis is stating the obvious. Good for him. I mean, it proves that he's not a gender fluid woke idiot, because gender fluid woke idiots would, you know, kid themselves. Oh, we could still win. It's still possible. DeSantis says, nope. Accordingly, I am today suspending my campaign. And he said, it's clear to me that a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance. They watch his presidency get stymied by relentless resistance, and they see Democrats using lawfare to attack him. And then he added, Trump is superior to the current incumbent, Joe Biden. That is clear. Yeah, no bleep, Sherlock. Like I said before, I think my dog is superior to Joe Biden. He said, quote, I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee, and I will honor that pledge. And he says that Trump has my endorsement, because we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesteryear, a repackaged form of warmed over corporatism that Nikki Haley represents. Oh, he takes a shot at New World Order Nikki. Now, Nikki Haley is known as a Democrat light. She's a Democrat who self-identifies as a rhino. Nikki Haley is an embarrassment to America. And with DeSantis out, and by the way, DeSantis is doing a great job as governor of Florida. So, you know, go for it, Ron. Stick with Florida for a while longer, and, you know, we'll see where you go next. But Florida needs you right now, buddy. In the meantime, it's now Trump versus Nikki Haley, and that's no competition at all. Nikki Haley is done. I mean, this thing is done. Trump's the nominee. Now, realizing this, I mean, think about all the ways that the rhinos and the Democrats who are aligned on this issue have tried to stop Donald J. Trump. They have tried so many different ways, and they failed in every way. I mean, you know, they tried to throw Nikki Haley into the mix. I think they tried to throw Vivek Ramaswamy into the mix, and that didn't work either. RFK Jr. is running as an independent, and some people believe he was going to take away more votes from Trump than anybody else, but RFK Jr.'s campaign is not going anywhere that I can see. He's got no realistic shot at the White House, and nor does any other independent, as far as I can tell. I mean, they can still do great things, and they can perhaps be part of debates, and they can table some important issues or bring them to the table. But when it comes to election day, it's going to be Trump versus whoever the Democrats can drag into the equation here. Is that going to be Joe Biden? I kind of doubt it. I think they're going to yank Joe Biden out, and also Kamala, by the way, and they're going to put somebody else in there. I don't know who that is at this point. I suspect it's going to be Gruesome Newsom, because even the Democrats realize that Joe Biden can barely speak. He can barely walk. doesn't know where he is. His policies are horrific. The American people are fed up. And if it's Trump versus Joe Biden in an honest election, Trump probably takes 70%+ of the popular vote and just wallops the Democrats, which is what they deserve. Actually, I would think, why wouldn't it be 80% or 90% of the popular vote? But this only means that the Democrats in the deep state and the rhinos are going to work extra hard to try to get rid of Trump. So this is where we need to be warned about what's coming. Number one, lawfare. They're going to try to throw Trump in prison. In one of these cases that they have with these rigged courts and rigged judges and rigged juries, and it's just blatant lawfare, totally unconstitutional, they're going to find a way probably to find Trump guilty on some trumped up charge, ironically, and jail him. And you know what? That's just going to make Trump even more popular. Trump may literally become the first United States candidate for president that wins the presidency while imprisoned. Imagine that. Because once he's behind bars, man, you know what that does? How many Americans who are tired of the system beating them up, like Black America or Hispanics or independent-minded people, anybody who's been censored, anybody who's been overtaxed, anybody who has been, you know, beaten up by the system is going to say, they threw Trump in prison? Oh, he's got my vote. Oh, yeah. Because even if Trump's got a felony record, you know, most Americans at this point would rather vote for felony Trump than brain dead Biden or, you know, corrupt deep state candidates. They would vote for felony Trump because they know Trump's only being thrown in prison because the establishment's trying to stop him. So that's scenario one, is you should expect Trump to go to jail. And that means other people are going to have to campaign for him. And Trump is, at this point, as far as I can tell, the only remaining choice to at least have a shot at dismantling the corrupt, authoritarian, criminal system of the fascist left that's currently in charge because they stole the election last time. The second thing is that they're probably going to try to kill Trump. And they may try to kill him in prison. In fact, if they take him into prison, they could probably just pull a Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, the cameras didn't work. Oh, what happened? Oh, really? Another prisoner strangled him to death? You know, you're going to be told these kinds of things. They'll probably try to kill him in prison. We may see a scenario where Trump has to, I mean, I don't know what this is going to look like, but Trump may have to seek the protection of like Governor DeSantis or Governor Abbott, and a Republican-run state is going to have to stand up and maybe even go to war against the corrupt federal agents in order to protect Donald Trump from being arrested and assassinated in prison. They're going to have to offer Trump amnesty. Something like that could come up. I mean, we're looking at civil war type of scenarios here. And by the way, the federal government is already at war with Texas over the border. And, you know, the government wants wide open borders and thousands of illegals streaming into Texas every day. And the governor of Texas said, no, we've had enough. We're blocking it. You know, we took over that park. We kicked out the federal border patrol people. We're done with you. We're going to protect our border and stop the invasion. And right now, the DOJ is threatening action against Texas, and this is about to heat up. It's going to get interesting. And you probably know at some point where this goes is the governor of Texas is going to have to order the Texas National Guard to defend the border against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And you can probably fill in the rest of that yourself. There's probably going to be a war with the illegitimate, treasonous, unconstitutional, illegal federal government is going to try to go to war with Texas or Florida or some other state, maybe Arizona, who knows? Of course, they rigged that election too, so they got a Democrat governor there. There's going to be a war in this country, and it's probably going to be a war in one way or another over Trump, because the establishment cannot tolerate Trump being elected by the people. because the establishment hates democracy. So do everything you can peacefully at this point to support Trump and his safety and his legal case, because it's become clear he is the choice to take it to the establishment and dismantle the corrupt, fascist, illegal deep state system that is currently running this country and running it into the ground on purpose. All right, we're going to shift gears here. A couple other stories. There's a journalist for the Daily Mail, a sports journalist named Mike Dixon. And he apparently was spearheading these accusations against tennis champion Novak Djokovic for refusing to take the COVID shot. And this journalist, Mike Dixon, he was really taking it to Djokovic and just criticizing him left and right over a long period of time. Well, Djokovic, of course, has gone on to a lot of tennis victories. He refused to be jabbed with the bioweapon. Good for him. He's highly intelligent as well as being a great tennis champion. And the Daily Mail journalist Mike Dixon has died suddenly. He's dead. Let's see. His family announced, quote, "We are devastated to announce that our wonderful husband and dad, Mike, has collapsed and died while in Melbourne for the Australian Open. For 38 years, he lived his dream covering sport all over the world. He was a truly great man, and we will miss him terribly." Signed by his children. If only he had not taken the jab. If only he had not taken the jab. He had tweeted out or written in one of his articles. He had written, "Novak Djokovic could ruin his chances of becoming the greatest of all time by refusing to take the vaccine. It is a strange hill to die on for a player who is so desperate to be loved." Well, speaking of hills to die on, Novak Djokovic responded to the death of Dixon very professionally. He wrote, quote, "Condolences to Mike Dixon family. Rest in peace." Yeah, well, another example of died suddenly. And, you know, for the record, I don't wish death upon anybody. I've tried to save people from the vaccine. I think I've committed years of my life to doing that, actually, even before COVID. And so I think I've earned the right to say that although I don't wish death upon anyone, it is kind of it's kind of self-selection for the Darwin Award, is it not? When people decide to take a bioweapon, depopulation weapon themselves, and then they die, isn't it kind of like, well, you did that. That's kind of vaccine-assisted suicide. So why do you run around projecting onto everybody else, criticizing them for not doing the stupid thing that you did? You notice how many people are just dying lately, by the way, all over. Dying suddenly at all ages. They can be young athletes too. So many people are dying. And at least from what I've been asking around, it's not people who have been, quote, anti-vaxxers. It's the vaxxers who are the ones dying suddenly. I wonder how many journalists took the vaccine, took multiple jabs and boosters, and then now are seeing their colleagues dying, and now they're starting to question, were we lied to about this? I mean, God forbid a mainstream journalist ever has a critical thought of their own, rather than just being handed a press release or some government narratives like, read this, you know, report this. If they think for themselves, they probably wouldn't be a mainstream media journalist, obviously. You know, they'd be an independent journalist like Max Blumenthal or Chris Hedges or, you know, Glenn Greenwald or somebody like that. Mainstream corporate journalists don't think for themselves. Otherwise, they couldn't stand their jobs. Now, in other celebrity news, Alec Baldwin has been indicted by a grand jury in the Rust shooting. Boy, they took their time, huh? That shooting was years ago. Yeah, 2021. And here we are, almost 3 years later, they've indicted him. I don't have a very popular view on this. However, let me say the following. Number one, I'm no fan of Alec Baldwin as an individual or his politics. I think that Alec Baldwin is a horrible person. I mean, I think he's an ugly human, not physically ugly. I mean, his soul is ugly. I think he's dark. I think he's destructive. I think he's a horrible person. And I think that his presence in this world has been a net negative. He has been destructive to this society. With that said, I don't think he should be charged in this shooting. I really don't. He's being charged with involuntary manslaughter. And you might argue that's the correct charge because, well, he accidentally killed someone, and he did. But, oh, and that's a fourth degree felony. But he was on a movie set, and it's clear to me he did not load that gun with a live round. Somebody else did that. I don't know if it was the armorer or who it was, the prop person, probably the armorer, but I guess we'll never know. But somebody loaded the gun with a live round. I don't think it was Alec Baldwin. I know there are theories that maybe he was trying to kill somebody and get away with it. I don't know. But I don't think he did it on purpose. I think it was a horrible accident. And I think that instead of being, you know, criminally prosecuted, I think it should be a civil trial where he should have to cough up many millions in compensation to the families or spouses of those who were, you know, harmed or the person killed in this case. That's what I think. But I know that's not a popular opinion. I'm just saying that I don't think Alec Baldwin tried to do this on purpose. It was an accident. He's still a horrible person, but I don't think he's a criminal that wants to run around shooting people. That's not the way he destroys people. I think he uses his voice and his influence in Hollywood to destroy America, but he doesn't run around trying to shoot people on purpose. It was an accident. Okay, moving on to other news. There was a horrific attack on civilians in Russia over the weekend. It happened in Donetsk, where the people have, of course, voted to join Russia. So it's considered by Russia to be part of Russia now. But Ukraine, using U.S. weapons, launched, it looks like, artillery at a civilian market, killing at least 25 civilians in what Russia is calling a barbaric terrorist act. That's from Russia's foreign ministry. A statement from Russia's foreign ministry says, quote, "This again confirms the West's direct involvement in the conflict and makes it complicit in the criminal acts of the Zelensky regime, which has once again displayed its inhumanity and hatred towards innocent people. The West's unrestrained desire to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia through the hands of their Ukrainian puppets, whom it is eager to support mindlessly and without limit, is pushing the Kiev regime to increasingly reckless steps, including acts of terrorism, massive violations of international humanitarian law, and war crimes." You know what Israel has been doing to Gaza, the government of Ukraine under Zelensky had been doing for many years against the citizens, the civilians in the Donetsk region, just relentlessly shelling them and killing them. And it just shows you that, you know, the West is just interested in slaughtering innocent people, in this case, in order to try to provoke a response from Russia. So let's get something clear. Let's step back at the big picture. Just as Israel is assassinating Hezbollah leaders in Lebanon and destroying and killing Iran's certain military or political leaders in Syria and other places, and just as Israel is bombing civilians in Gaza, which is an attempt to try to provoke Iran into a retaliatory attack, well, the same thing is happening with Ukraine now, shelling Donetsk over the weekend and deliberately working to slaughter civilians. This is designed to try to push Russia into a retaliation escalation. That's what this is designed to do. Because the West, NATO and the United States, they need Russia to scale up the attack because NATO needs an excuse to call for a bigger war and a military draft and maybe the use of nuclear weapons and, you know, constructing more tanks and so on. So they are trying to provoke Russia, Putin in particular, into some kind of larger attack, just like Israel's trying to provoke Iran. In the case of Israel, an attack by Iran would give the United States neocons exactly what they want, which is the excuse to bomb Iran, to wage a larger war. And don't you find it a little bit disturbing that the United States is really the puppet master behind both of these theaters of war, both with Ukraine versus Russia and also Israel versus everybody in the Middle East, because Israel thinks it needs to own pretty much, you know, everything from the river to the sea, as Netanyahu said. But the U.S. is the puppet master behind both of these. And how is it that the U.S. thinks that it can wage two wars at the same time, one war with Russia and another war with Iran, and, you know, perhaps whoever else joins? How can the U.S. wage two wars? I don't think the U.S. could wage one war. I mean, they could attempt to wage it. They couldn't succeed at it. The U.S. can't defeat Russia. The U.S. can't defeat Iran. The U.S. can't conquer anything on land because U.S. troops are not capable. U.S. artillery is not capable. I mean, all the U.S. can do is bomb and launch missiles and fire artillery from naval vessels and, you know, cruise missiles and whatever. And of course, the U.S. has its nuclear arsenal, but it's outdated. I mean, yeah, the U.S. has its F-35s, but they barely work. And they're subject to Russia's electronic warfare countermeasures, by the way, as well as Russia's very advanced anti-air defense systems that can shoot down F-35s. So it's crazy that the U.S., which doesn't have the soldiers, doesn't have the culture of a warrior, the U.S. doesn't have the munitions, doesn't have the industrial output, doesn't have the strength in its currency to fund a war, is nevertheless provoking war. You can bet the U.S. ordered Zelensky in Kiev to shell that marketplace and murder a bunch of people over the weekend to see if Russia will respond. You can bet the U.S. was behind that. You can bet the U.S. is behind Israel saying, you know, keep on bombing and killing, assassinating Hezbollah leaders. See if we can get, you know, Hezbollah to attack in northern Israel. See if we can get Iran to attack. It's like the U.S. is on some kind of weird woke suicide mission. It's like a measly little wimp in a schoolyard running around picking on all the bullies. You want to fight me, huh? You want to fight me? You want to fight? Stick him up. Stick him up. You want to fight? And they're just poking bullies in the face. You want to fight me? The U.S. is not the military it once was in World War II, or even in 1991, Desert Storm. It's not. Was that 91? Forgot the exact year that was. But in the early 1990s, the U.S. was fighting a very different war where the enemy did not have the sophisticated weaponry that it has today, not even close. And even then, it took almost the entire U.S. military to defeat the Iraqis, even though they were poorly trained and poorly equipped and had almost no armor whatsoever and no sophisticated weaponry whatsoever. It still took a long time for the U.S. to defeat them. That situation is not going to happen today. Now, Turkey has more sophisticated weaponry in many cases than does the United States. Iran has very sophisticated ballistic long-range missiles, and with what Iran launched last week, they proved they can reach Israel with ballistic missiles. So if the U.S. tries to bomb Iran, Iran can just launch, you know, 500 ballistic missiles and turn Israel into rubble, just obliterate the entire nation of Israel, probably triggering Israel's, you know, Samson option, nukes for everyone. And then we're in the middle of nuclear World War III, which is probably what the U.S. wants in order to cancel the election because Trump is on track to win. I mean, you can see how this all is interrelated here. But the U.S. is on some kind of weird suicide mission, or it's just run by such woke idiots that they don't realize that they can't beat Russia. They think they can, but they're delusional. Again, I mean, this comes back to the main theme here today, the gender fluid belief system, where leaders in the Pentagon and in government think that a man can get pregnant and a man can become a woman. And that's why they think that the U.S. military can beat Russia's military, because you would have to think that men can get pregnant to think that the U.S. military can defeat Russia in a land war. You have to be literally suffering from a mental illness to believe any of those things. And yes, people who think that men can get pregnant, they are mentally ill. And the FAA is hiring people with severe mental illnesses. They get hired on the spot for the FAA. That should be the first question on the intake form. Do you believe that a man can become a woman and get pregnant and bear children? And if you answer yes, they're like, you're hired. You'll fit right in with our culture here at the FAA. Our job is to wreck planes all across the country and make sure that pilots are woke and fully vaccinated. Yes, welcome to the FAA. You know what the FAA stands for? Well, it's actually, you know, it's an acronym, but it's only part of an acronym. It's FAAFO is the full acronym. You know what FAAFO stands for? F around and find out. That's what that means. See, FAA is the first three letters of F around and find out. And they are effing around, and we are going to find out, because it's a nightmare. But the bottom line is that in Russia, I mean, in Ukraine, in Donetsk, Ukraine is going to keep following the orders of the West to just bomb and slaughter innocent civilians until Russia reacts. And then when Russia reacts with some kind of escalation, then the West will say, we were attacked by Russia. Look, they're the aggressors. Unprovoked aggression. That's what they say. It's all BS. It's not unprovoked. It's totally provoked. It's provoked. Yeah, things are about to get super dicey. This is an election year, and our country is run by woke idiots, and they have a gender fluid concept of everything, and they are insane, and they are psychopaths, and they are mass murderers, and they don't care how many people die, but they're trying to engineer events into a narrative that can justify what they want to do, which is to start World War III. And then they want to start a draft of U.S. soldiers. Can you imagine that? You're drafted. Can you imagine the protests at that point? And are they going to draft women too, because they believe in gender fluidity, so your gender doesn't matter? So what are they going to do? Like, all women have to register for the draft. Wow. Let's see that, huh? And are they going to have disabled people have to register for the draft, because that's what's happening in Ukraine, as I understand it. They lifted the restrictions on disabled people. So in America, what are they going to do? They're going to have people in wheelchairs have to sign up for the military, send them over to fight with Russia. Is that how this is going to work? I mean, it's twisted. I mean, what are they going to do? Have like drill sergeants drilling the wheelchair battalion? Soldier, you don't need your legs to reload your M4 rifle. You know, I mean, we're beyond idiocracy. We've entered an insane asylum, a twisted reality here. And people are dying every day on purpose. They're dying. They're being killed by the intentional shelling. I don't mean just soldiers. I mean civilians. They're being bombed in Gaza. They're being bombed in Donetsk and who knows wherever else. And the U.S., I guess one good thing is eventually the U.S. is going to run out of bombs because they can't make enough. So I wonder what's going to happen then when the U.S. runs out of bombs and missiles. Then what do they do? There's a rumor that Joe Biden is going to sign an executive order legalizing millions of illegals so they can vote in the coming election. That might be one last ditch ploy. And there's a story out of Remix News. Germany's waning left-wing government expedites citizenship process and voting rights for migrants ahead of next year's election. Yeah, this is exactly what they're doing in Germany. The story says, quote, the move by the increasingly unpopular liberal coalition means that around 2.5 million foreign nationals could soon be eligible to vote for left-wing parties. See, this is their, you know, break glass in emergencies option. It just grants citizenship to millions of illegals. They're doing it in Germany. Joe Biden's probably going to do it in the United States. But I don't think this is going to give them the votes that they want anyway. I think a whole lot of illegals coming into the United States don't want to vote for Joe Biden, because many, I mean, believe it or not, many illegals, I mean, there's two kinds of illegals. One kind is the criminal element that wants to come in and sell drugs and do trafficking and rob people and all that. The other kind is the actual working class illegal immigrant who just wants to work and get paid. And those people want a functioning economy, which means they don't want Joe Biden as president if they know what's going on. They don't want their dollars to lose value. They just want to work. So I think if Joe Biden legalizes a bunch of illegals, I mean, number one, it's going to be challenged and probably shut down by the Supreme Court because it's blatantly unconstitutional and it's, you know, it's an actual invasion. But even if he succeeds, I don't think it's going to give them the votes that they're counting on. And also, you know, the other thing, the current regime is vastly overestimating popular support because they read their own fake news. They believe their own propaganda and lies. And so they think the American people support them. And they also think that they're winning in Ukraine somehow. Or they think they're winning with Israel somehow. I mean, it's insane. Most of the world despises Israel and what it's doing right now. And most of the world realizes that Ukraine has lost this war. They've lost. Russia has won. It's just a matter of, I don't know, a couple more months till Ukraine completely runs out of ammo. And it's terms of surrender at that point. But the U.S. leaders don't realize that because they're living in their fantasy, gender fluid, la la land, their little fairy tale. So they also don't know what's actually coming. They don't realize the level of popular support for Trump now that he's the obvious nominee, which a lot of that is just support against the current establishment. There's going to be a lot of people, tens of millions of Americans, who are not fans of Trump or who, like myself, have real serious disagreements with Trump on many issues, such as big pharma and money printing and just blind support for Israel's genocide and things like that. But a lot of Americans are going to support Trump anyway, like I'm talking about, because if the Democrats stay in power, we die as a nation. We die. I mean, it's gone. The Republic will be gone if the Democrats stay in power four more years. It may already be too late. There are days where I think it is. But as the system implodes, I sure don't want a Joe Biden in charge. And Trump at least gives us a chance, especially when combined with Republican governors like DeSantis and Abbott and so on. We have a chance. It may not be a great chance, but it is a chance to take this country back. Ultimately, I think the Democrats have overestimated their support. They've overestimated their strength, just like they're doing with the war with Russia. And as a result, they're going to be absolutely surprised by how resoundingly they are defeated in the voting come this November. And that's actually a good thing. Because if they properly anticipate how unpopular they are, well, they might be able to take steps to do something about it beforehand. But since they don't realize it, they're going to be caught off guard. So it's interesting. It's kind of a self-correcting system. All right, I've got an interview coming up for you today with attorney Thomas Renz. Now, this interview was filmed several weeks ago. I have not run it yet. I was saving it. And so just understand that some of the comments that he and I have about what's happening in the Middle East, those comments are a little bit dated based on what we have learned since then. So the first few minutes of the interview are about the Middle East and Israel and so on. But then we get into a lot of other topics and issues, including the mRNA, injections, vaccines, bioweapons, and a new book that Thomas Renz has from his website, TomRenz, RENZ.com. So we'll get to that in just a second. In the meantime, check out our new storefront at HealthRangerStore.com. We've launched a whole new storefront, and we now have something called Lightning Deals. Gee, I wonder where we got that from. If you go to healthrangerstore.com and you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see lightning deals that, you know, expire, but it's extra savings on certain items. Sometimes we have a really good production run, or sometimes we have the opportunity to buy more raw materials than we had planned because a supplier might say, well, oh, you want 5,000 kilos, but we can sell you 10,000 kilos. You get a little bit better price if you're willing to take 10,000. And our crew is like, well, 10,000 might be more than we need, but let's go ahead and take it. And then we'll do a lightning deal to pass the savings along to you. For example, right now we have clean chlorella powder on a lightning deal, and also camu powder. Organic camu, you know, is a natural source of vitamin C. And then if you scroll down, we've got all kinds of deals going on, and you can shop by health goals and you can see our best sellers and so on, or you can browse by dietary preference. We've got foods and superfoods, personal care products, and survival products as well. Search for knives on the website. The search magnifying glass is near the top right of the site. Just click on that and search for the word knife, and you can see our new knives from Dawson Knives. We co-designed with Dawson Knives, and they are available right now, shipping now, in stock. And we've got many other products, and I thank you for your support. Also, don't forget about Goldbacks. You can find out about what those are at verifiedgoldbacks.com. And Goldbacks contain actual physical gold that's sandwiched in between a layer of polymer in the shape of a small bill that gives you very precise divisions of ounces of gold. You can get a one bill, one Goldback, which is 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold embedded in the bill. Or you can get 5s, 10s, 25s, 50s, and so on. And now there's a premium over the price of gold. If you just want raw gold or gold coins, that's actually less expensive per ounce. But if you want divisible gold in the Goldback format, there is a premium, but these are incredibly beautiful. They're very divisible. They have high utility, and it's a way to spread out gold across multiple, you know, denominations of different fractions of an ounce of gold. So it's a very usable form of gold. I'll have a special report for you about Goldbacks after the interview with Thomas Renz, if you want to hear that coming up. In the meantime, just go to verifiedgoldbacks.com and you can see what we have there. You can see the photos and my lab tests and how we've actually conducted the test for gold purity, and also the gold mass that is found in those Goldback bills. We've done all the tests and they're legit. They contain the gold they claim to contain, actually a little bit more. And the gold is better than 24 karat gold purity. We've done the actual mass spec lab tests on that. And finally, there's also a rumor of another Arctic freeze that's about to sweep through the southwestern portion of the United States. I don't know if it's 10 days away or what, but apparently, at least in one weather model I saw, it's supposed to bring really cold temperatures through Oregon, sweeping through California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico. Of course, it's going to affect, you know, Idaho and Wyoming as well, but it's going to be really crazy for Southern California, Arizona, and New Mexico, and parts of Nevada that normally don't get that cold. So don't forget to check out BeReady123.com, another sponsor of ours. And at BeReady123.com, they've got the backup solar generators that can power your diesel heaters. I did a little demonstration of that the other day. And that way, if the power goes down, you can still have your heat. You can turn diesel into heat, and you can have the battery backup that powers the diesel blower and the fan. So that's BeReady123.com. Get yourself a solar generator. And oh, I forgot to mention, on the verifiedgoldbacks.com, we do earn a small commission on those sales, but it doesn't cost you anything extra. They do pay us a small percentage, so that does help support our platform at the same time that you're acquiring gold in a very usable form. So thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting our sponsors and our online store. All right, we got a lot of great projects that we're funding, including this large language model project. I'll keep you posted about that. We're working on some big things for this year, some things to help empower people and help us take this country back from the tyrants and the fascists and the woke terrorists at this point. I don't know if you want to call them the woke idiots running the terror. And Thomas Renz is another fellow patriot who is fighting the good fight for America, for freedom, for humanity, for the rule of law. And this interview with him, which is part of a decentralized TV interview, by the way, this is some real gold. So enjoy this interview. I'll have a Goldback report on the other side of that, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Welcome to Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and today our special guest is attorney Thomas Renz at TomRenz.com. And Thomas Renz is one of the most amazing people that I've had the privilege of meeting since the whole COVID fiasco happened. He's not only an attorney who fights for human freedom, but he's also an author, and he has a new book called Mod RNA that we're going to talk about here today, plus other events happening in the world, including a little bit about what's happening in the Middle East. Welcome, attorney Thomas Renz. It's great to have you on the show with us today.
Good to see you, Mike. How are you been?
Really? I mean, I've been buried under world events. How about yourself?
Oh, same. I mean, listen, everybody that's fighting freedom is busy right now.
Isn't that the truth?
They're giving us a lot of fronts to fight on. And, you know, I mean, well, Mike, I mean, you know my story. I started out, I tell God, hey, you put this in front of me, I'll fight it. And I just thought I was trying to get Ohio opened up from COVID stuff. I didn't know we were taking on a global cabal of Nazis and communists that want to destroy humanity. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And they can launch a new war every weekend whenever they want. And they have done so. In fact, real quick, before we get to your book, which I really do want to talk about, what's your take on what's happening with Israel and the Gaza Strip and the Hamas terrorists and all of that?
Oh, man, I got to tell you. So this is really hard for me, right? So, like, I'm a big supporter of Israel. And one of the great honors of my life has been during COVID, I got to testify before a rabbinical court in New York. And they ended up forbidding, you know, based on that court ruling, you know, certain people from getting that COVID vaccine, which probably saved a lot of lives and was a great thing. And it was an honor to work with the Jewish people of that community. So that was great. And I've got a lot of love. And to see these people being targeted all over the world, and it's the level of anti-Semitism we're seeing is shocking, right? I mean, we've got Joe Biden, who is, you know, trying to make excuses for these Palestinian people who are murdering babies. He's trying to make excuses for the Ukraine, where they have Nazis as a part of their military. I mean, we're funding a military that has Nazis in it. And then you've got him also as a part of the World Economic Forum, where you've got their chief scientific advisor, Yuval Noah Harari, is endlessly praising Hitler and Stalin, telling us how he's going to. I mean, this guy can't shut up about Hitler and Stalin. Every time he speaks, if Hitler and Stalin had this technology, you know, I mean, everywhere I look, I see Biden basically supporting anything that's anti-Semitic, but I don't see the ADL speaking about it. And then, you know, you get to Israel and there you've got these psychotic murderers who are literally killing civilians. And yes, I recognize that there's a lot of fishy things. I'm sure the corruption is extensive from all governments. But I mean, at the end of the day, there's innocent people being murdered, and that's got to stop.
Well, but to be clear, are you talking about innocent people in Israel or innocent people in the Gaza Strip?
Well, there's innocent people everywhere. The unfortunate thing is, and you know, I a lot of people have been fussing about this because, you know, there's a lot of people that says, well, bomb Gaza into a bead of glass. And I certainly understand that sentiment, right? I mean, these people are animals. The people that went across and were murdering civilians are animals.
Clearly,
and the people that
yes.
ordered them to do that are animals.
Absolutely.
The problem that I have is that on a personal level, like, I am not pro-death penalty. Like, don't get me wrong. There's people that deserve to die. But I don't think that God gave me the right to make that decision. And it's something that I'd prefer not to have to make, you know, if I could make it. When I look at Gaza, there's a lot of people who bear a lot of responsibility. I mean, whether you're working with or for the government, whether you're tied in with it, there's a lot of bad people. And the idea of bombing it into a bead of glass is appealing. The problem is, though, and where that idea loses me, is that there's babies, right? There are babies. And I don't care where a baby is. I don't care where a child is. You know, to anything that that throws in women and children and innocents. And there are innocents everywhere, even in Gaza. And maybe there's only one. Maybe there's only one five-year-old girl who's a complete innocent in this. But killing her is a tragedy. And I'm pretty sure that God, Jesus, Allah, you pick whatever you want to call it. For me, it's Jesus. For me, it's Christ and God. But I don't think that there's any good time that we're doing anything right if we're murdering innocents. And there are innocent babies and children everywhere. So, like, you want to wipe out every terrorist in Gaza, I'm all in. You want to destroy every government member, military target, or government target there, I'm in. You tell me you're going to start killing women and children, that's kind of the line for me.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that point. Civilians should be spared the ravages of war, especially women and children in particular. But I think you and I also see that there's a much bigger scheme by the globalists here, which is to distract us, to get people fighting amongst each other, and then to ultimately expand war into a world war that achieves the globalist depopulation goals. So in a sense, aren't we all being manipulated in this way? This is just one particular spark that was set off. But isn't in the grand scale or the grand scheme, isn't this just a giant manipulation against humanity?
Oh, it absolutely is. I don't think there's any question about that, right? So, I had some people grumbling on one of the social media platforms the other day because I post something. They said, don't you know it's a big psyop? Yes, I know it's a big psyop. I've been fighting COVID for 3.5 years. Of course, yeah, I know it's a big psyop. I get it. The odds of a bunch of guys paragliding over the most defended border on the planet is absolutely ridiculous. Do I think that these guys came in by accident? Hell no. This wasn't an accident. I mean, someone in the Israeli government was in on this. I don't know who, I don't know where, but you don't have a bunch of guys, we're going to drive our slow tractor up to this border, tear down that fence, and then we're going to paraglide over this fence and nobody's going to notice. I mean, it's the most guarded border on the planet.
That's right.
So come on, we're not stupid here, and we all know that. But when we talk about Israel and we talk about this tragedy, there has to be justice. There has to be action. And I am 1,000% with Israel on this. That said, my only limitation on the justice is vengeance is never justice and justice is never vengeance. A lot of people are surprised to hear. So I got two boys, Mike. My boys are 10 and 13. And they know I fight bad guys. And I've had to be very careful about this, right? Because they'll say to me, Dad, you just want to kill that guy, because that's what little boys say. I say, no, I don't. That's not what's going on here. And I've had to explain to them, I want justice. I want these guys to be accountable. I want them to go to jail. I want them to get whatever it is that they get. If this was Palestine, Israel, Hamas, those Hamas people, yeah, they probably should be shot. They should probably be eliminated from the planet. That said, it's not vengeance and justice aren't the same. That's justice. That's preventing more carnage. That's preventing more mayhem, and you have to do that.
Right, and I consider you to be a fighter for humanity. You're on the side of humanity, and you apply that ideal across the board. You would defend in a court of law. You would defend as an attorney. An Israeli person who was wronged or a Palestinian person who was wronged, correct?
I would. So listen, here's the deal. What's right and wrong isn't determined by race, creed, gender, religion, or anything else. And we've got to be, I want to challenge, because I know that there's people listening right now who are saying, oh my God, Renz, what are you doing? I want to challenge you. Have you ever done right by committing another wrong? When does that happen? Listen, what's right and wrong doesn't change. I don't get to decide that, okay? For me, What's right and wrong is right and wrong. Now, I fail all the time in doing what's right, but I aspire to it. I'm not doing right by committing the same wrong that the other guy did. All I'm doing is getting vengeance. That's God's. God's got that. So, and I'm pretty sure that that's a common theme in most of the Abrahamic faiths, that ultimately justice will be God's. But, you know, there's too much violence. And if someone's being wronged, we've got to have justice. We've got to have justice. Only God's justice is perfect. God wants revenge. That's his business. He's God. Man's work has to be based on justice, fairness, equality under the law, things like that.
Yes, and the principles, the pro-humanity principles, have to be universal. They have to apply to every race, every ethnicity, every color.
And it makes me sick.
Yeah.
It makes me sick, Mike. So, like, when you say to me, because you've known me for several years now.
Yes.
I'm a freaking fighter. You say, I get mad. I want to punch something. I want to take it out. But here's the deal. It makes me sick to say, listen, maybe we shouldn't bomb the whole thing into beat of glass. Because that's what I want to say. That's what I want to say. I want to say nuke them, right? Just wipe them off the planet. Because I saw the pictures of the dead babies. I saw the pictures of the dead people. I had people from Israel send me pictures. Yeah, I've seen. And so my reaction is visceral. And it's angry. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to see these monsters bombed off the planet. But then I think, you know, is that really okay with my faith? Is that really who I am? Is that what I want to be? And it's tough. It's tough because I don't want to tell everybody, hey, listen, let's catch our breath here. You're right. Let's wipe the ground with these monsters who are doing the killing. But do you really want to kill a 4-year-old girl, a baby? Do you want to really kill an infant who didn't do anything? Do we really want to do that? Because then how are we any better? We're not.
Yeah. And plus, you know, Hamas is a fringe violent terrorist gang. And not all Palestinians are Hamas, not by a long shot. I mean, that would be the same as saying that all white people are KKK or something.
Well, I can't argue with that. I mean, I'm sure that there are people in Palestine. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate on it because I agree with the sentiment that it's kind of like what we're dealing with here in the United States, right? So I'm looking and I'm seeing Joe Biden and I'm seeing these leftists do these horribly evil things. And so what did I do? The same thing you did, Mike. We fought like hell. We fought. I mean, you started a whole network so that you could, you know, push truth and push what's going on. I mean, I've given everything in my life, lawsuits, time, everything. So we stood up and we fought against that evil, right? The question I have for the Palestinians in Gaza that didn't is why? What, you don't see these monsters? You didn't think maybe we should fight back? And so while I do think that we got to be careful not to carry out justice where it doesn't deserve to be carried out, you know, on innocent women, children, things like that, I also think that you do bear some responsibility for sitting on your hands. I walk around America and I'm mad because I see too many people, well, you know, I don't want to fight. I want to, yeah, I work to live. I don't live to work. You know, I want to live my best life at peace. I can't fight. That's just no good. Well, that, you know what, then you bear responsibility for being part of the problem. So I understand that mindset as well. And I guess at the end of the day, I don't think there's an easy thing to do, but I do think that we have to refrain from replacing justice with vengeance.
Yeah, a very important principle. Now let's expand the picture and also, get to talking about your book here shortly, but another form of violence against the people of Israel has been government-endorsed vaccines.
Yep.
And this is also a form of violence that has killed numerous children in Israel, yep, and the United States. And both governments push these vaccines on pregnant women in particular, yep, causing an untold number of spontaneous abortions and deaths of unborn babies.
Yep.
So, you know, isn't it astonishing that we live in a world where when there's violence against children by certain groups, that is magnified and focused, yep, But when there is violence against children by the vaccine industry and the governments and the media pushing vaccines on children, that is utterly ignored. So that I'm opening the door for you, Tom, to talk about vaccines and the damage that is, that they have caused.
Well, and I think that's one of the most brilliant segues I've heard in a very long time, Mike.
Well, thank you.
That's what you get the big bucks for, buddy. And the analogy is so, so good, right? But this is the problem. And when I say, I really think that these guys paraglided over the most guarded border in the universe, you know, of course I don't think that. I think that there was something fishy about the whole thing. I think it's all a setup. And, you know, the only thing that I feel bad about are the dead civilians. But the thing about this is you're right. You're right. I mean, Israel is one of the most vaccinated countries on the planet. The Israeli government has probably caused more deaths from the vaccine than this horrible attack.
Oh, clearly.
But there's no question who's getting the worst media on it. And but, you know, I think the irony is that if you follow the money, the people that are pushing the narratives are also the people pushing the vaccine. So, but, you know, when we look at that, you look that, you know, not only is nobody saying anything about that in Israel, but they're not saying about it here in the States or anywhere else, and they're expanding it. And, you know, now we're seeing as they expanded into the food supply, we're really running into trouble because, you know, you can say no to a shot, but are you going to quit eating? And, you know, that's kind of, I mean, so it's almost worse in some ways, you know, because it's so insidious and so sneaky. I mean, you can't miss what the Hamas monsters did, but you can. It's really easy to overlook the billionaires that are making billions of dollars pushing these poisons that have, you know, murdered children, women, and babies, and newborns and unborns for the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, and we used to have, to continue the metaphor, we used to have borders of the scientific community. Those borders were manned by soldiers of rationality, we might say, or guards of evidence. And no, quote, enemy could cross the border without having evidence and without being scrutinized by peer-reviewed studies. Well, Bill Gates got into a paraglider and just flew over the border with all his money, and he landed and invaded the scientific community, which in this metaphor represents Israel, and then was able to carry out extreme terrorism against women and children using deadly vaccines that were promoted by the government. So that invasion was also allowed to happen as well.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you that it turns out that the single greatest tool of stealth in the history of the world is Bill Gates' money because he did paraglide right over. Nobody noticed because they were too busy looking at his dollar bills.
That's right.
But that's right. And that's exactly what's going on here. And, you know, I want to say I've been really, really honored. You know, I stood on as I fought on the COVID side and on the vaccine side, you know, I stood on the shoulders of giants. And Mike, you've done so much on this, you know, Sherry Tenpenny, Bobby, you know, everybody, these people have all done so, so much in this realm. And so I was able to do a lot of work building off of what people had spent years doing for anyways. But, you know, the thing that's really got me right now is that they've because of the advancements in science, these modRNA poisons, and I have to distinguish between mRNA because mRNA in the nomenclature traditionally stands for messenger RNA. And so when you say mRNA, anybody that knows anything says messenger RNA. Well, except for I've got Pfizer documents that show that it was fraud. There was never messenger RNA. It was always mod RNA. And messenger RNA is a naturally occurring thing. It's in every body everywhere. Everybody's got it. And it's a weak particle. It dissipates. It falls apart real quick, this, that, and other. Mod RNA is a different animal. Mod RNA is laboratory created. It lasts longer, it's stronger, it's more durable. We don't know how long it stays in the system. It's a totally different thing than messenger RNA, but they use the M so that they could say, so that they could lie and mislead people. Hmm. But, you know, now with these gains and these advances in creating synthetic RNAs and RNA technologies, they're now at the point where they're taking these poison vaccines that they used, you know, that had killed millions, and they're moving it where it can be given through through food, it can be given through the air. They're working on mosquitoes. I mean, this is stuff that can be spread in a number of ways, and they're creating it intentionally to do that because people don't want to get poisoned with a shot. So they're going to sneak it in otherwise.
So your new book, and I've got it on my screen here, Mod RNA, Why It Matters and Other Essays. It's kind of a short book, but it focuses, yeah. Am I right? It focuses on modified RNA in the food supply in particular?
Well, it talks about what it is. So the purpose of the book and what we did, Mike, was I wanted to create something very short and very accessible so that you didn't need a PhD to read it and you didn't need to spend 3 weeks reading it. And the reason for the real impetus was, we pushed on the mRNA vaccine disclosure bill in food last year in Missouri. It's House Bill 1169. You covered that. You helped us with it. What we found was when we did that, the lobby groups, which are all crooks and liars and sold out to Big Pharma, they came in and they'd give the legislature these, their handouts, and they were outright lies. They were completely incorrect. They didn't cite anything. They didn't demonstrate. They were absolutely just straight up lies on paper. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to give people just the basic tools so that they could argue it. So as a lawyer, everybody says, Renz, why are you writing about science? You're a lawyer. Well, because that's what lawyers do, right? So what a lawyer does is we can't do science, right? I can't do the studies that McCullough does. I don't know how. What I do is that my job as an attorney is to read and understand complex things and translate them into something a jury can understand.
Right.
So what we do and what I've done for the last 3.5 years is we study these things, we confirm our understanding with experts, doctors, scientists, whoever, and then we write about them. But we write about them not as a scientist. We write about them in a way where a regular person can understand it. And that was the point, right? So to give people the basics so that they could talk about mod RNA and what it means and it being in food and how it affects us and why it matters and all that stuff. But it had to be short and sweet because nobody wants to read a textbook on vaccinology.
Right. Well, you've apparently gotten a lot of excitement about this because I've heard from other people. They're really thrilled that you've just launched this. Let me give out your website. It's tomrenz.com. That's R-E-N-Z, tomrenz.com. And then if they go to sponsors on the top, then they can scroll down and find this book, Mod RNA. Is it available, I don't know, on Amazon as well?
Yep, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. Now, Amazon, it was interesting, Mike. So we put this book out on Amazon, and it was listed under 3 categories, and it was number 1, number 2, and number 3, right? So the book skyrockets right up the charts, and suddenly Amazon says it's unavailable. They're out of stock. Now, here's the deal. Along with writing it, I published it. So I can tell you, I don't know why it's out of stock at Amazon. I'm happy to sell them some more if they'd like to. But you can get it at Barnes & Noble, and you can get it at a whole bunch of other places. We actually worked hard to make sure that there were a lot of people that were going to sell it. And there's more coming on every day. But this is information that they don't want out because they do not want people to be aware. Mike, did you know that they can use a DNA-based vaccine that will genetically modify permanently the host creature, right?
Yes.
They can use that in a cow or a pig or whatever, and then they can tell you that after that's been given that DNA vaccine that modified its genes permanently, they can label that organic. It's literally the definition of GMO, and they can still label it organic because there's a loophole in the law that allows them to actually label it. So you will not know if they modify your food with this stuff. There's no labels. There's no way for you to know it. And even if you think you're going to buy organic, at the very end of the book, I list the law. I cite the law and I show what it says. And the exemption allows for anything that's called a vaccine to be given to the animal. And that's how they get around this.
Even if it's gene therapy, they just call it a vaccine and then they can bypass any other restrictions. Do you believe that this is in the beef supply right now? Because I know that the American Cattlemen Associations and a couple of other groups, I believe we're talking recently about how they're looking at the issue, but they never said that they were going to restrict it in beef. What's the status in beef, to your knowledge?
So in beef, we've got mixed messages. I mean, I've heard rumors that they're testing it in certain places. I've heard rumors that they're not. So we haven't been able to get hard confirmation. What I do know is that under sworn testimony in front of the Missouri House, well, not sworn, but it was under penalty of perjury. You can't lie in official testimony. The lobbyman for the Missouri Cattlemen's Association says that he gives MRA to his cattle all the time.
No kidding.
I know that officially it's not licensed, but that doesn't mean that they're not testing it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe he's a tester. I don't know. I have no reason to know, and I have no way to know whether he was lying or just stupid. But either way, you know, that's what he said. So we've heard reports. We also heard around that time what prompted us to look into this and to create 1169 was that we were told by a number of lobbyists in a number of states that they were planning on putting a bunch of mRNA into every animal you're going to eat within a very short period of time at that point. And I don't know if that got delayed because of the fight we made and the stink that we made over it or not, but I know that now they're going through the process, but they're working on it. I mean, they have aerosolized mRNA that they're working on using in chickens. They're testing it right now.
Yes, yes, I saw that. But here's something that is not very clear to me. What are the health implications of consuming animal products from animals who have been injected with mRNA? And I suppose that would depend on the engineering of the specific injections. But what have you come across that talks about, if anything, potential health implications in the consumer?
Well, I mean, there's a study out of China that showed that they vaccinated a cow, and when the mice drank the milk, the mice were vaccinated. So that would be a transmissible vaccine. Now, what we've done is, you know, I mean, naturally, they're not going to tell you too much about that. But we do know that in vegetables, for example, you know, that they were actively working on engineering veggies that when you ate them, they would give you a vaccination, right? So they were modifying these things so that when you took them, you were vaccinated. And it's just eating a vegetable, right? Now, Pfizer... BioNTech recently partnered with Bayer Monsanto. Now, we don't know the specifics of what they're working on, but BioNTech's an mRNA company, and Bayer Monsanto, I mean, they're the biggest seed producer on the planet. We do know that they are using gene therapies in and on seeds. We don't know if they're manufacturing, edible vaccines yet on out of any of the plants, but we do know that they can do it. I believe it was in San Diego, they had a lab, and I know that they had some up in Canada where they were growing eat your vaccines, right? They're veggies, and there's articles on it that we have. So, at the end of the day, they're working on putting this everywhere, and the health implications are very much going to depend on what you're taking. What are they putting in there? But the problem is why would you want to do something like this? There's no
informed with no long-term testing, no safety testing. But there's a category of modified RNA that we've covered before on Natural News called RNA interference technology.
Yeah,
and that's been put into foods experimentally to function as pesticides. So. If bugs eat the food, then the modified RNA contains instructions that cause the bugs to die.
Yes.
Right. That's the whole point. Well, surely we must wonder what happens when we eat those foods. Right.
Yeah, that's it. Right. And here's the thing. We've seen, so I think it's a Strix. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but there's a type of corn that they made. That was sprayed with a thing that, once the seed sprouted and developed roots, it still, whatever they sprayed it with was still there. So if a root worm ate the root, it killed the worm. Now, I don't know what that means is in the corn. I have no idea. Maybe nothing, maybe everything. But, at the end of the day, so if you look into this, Mike, you'll see there is about 50 different RNA technologies out there, right? There's a whole bunch of RNA this, RNA that. I mean, saRNA, RNAi, I mean, you name it. Basically, most of them are created in the lab. And at that point, it's a gene therapy. It's a technology that was created in the lab. When we start tinkering with genetics, we have no idea what we're doing. The human body has about 3,200 billion, so 3,200 billion lines of code in it. To compare, you know, you look at like Windows, some of these things, you look at maybe 100 million. We can't write the software for Windows to work without bugs. Why in the hell would I let them rewrite my 3,200 billion lines of code and think that they could do that?
Well, no, they want to hack the code is what they're doing. They are hackers. They're trying to hijack our systems and turn us against ourselves. I mean, just like, frankly, the NRA interference technology was designed to get bugs to eat the food and then to die.
Yep.
And, you know, we're living in a time of globalist depopulation agendas where the food supply is weaponized. I mean, you know, we were talking about Israel earlier, and Israel cut off the food supply to Gaza. I'm thinking if they really wanted to kill the Palestinians, they should just... They would ship American. Them modified RNA food.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing to us. You know what I mean? It's like we're all kind of subjects under this global death cult that now involves our food, the vaccines, geoengineering, who knows what else, the plasticizer chemicals, big pharma, you name it. Yeah. Everything's designed to kill us, it seems.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, listen, so you put out an mRNA vaccine, which is mod RNA, and you know that it doesn't actually have anything to do with stopping transmission. I mean, we've since had them admit that. They admitted that they had no idea how it would actually work to you know, make the diseases less of an issue. So then you have to ask yourself, okay, since it doesn't keep you healthy, it doesn't stop transmission, why the hell would you put it out?
Right, right.
I mean, it does nothing. And then to try and mandate it, you got to ask yourself, well, what are they getting out of this? What is this about? You know, is it just stealing money? Is it, you know, and when you start seeing that so many are dying and that they knew that there were going to be turbo cancers and that they knew that there was going to be reproductive issues and that they knew that there were going to be all these issues. When that happens, you've got to start asking yourself, what's going on here? Why would you do that? I mean, you know, I can't prove depopulation is an agenda, but I sure have a lot of reasons to ask the question.
No. Well, we can't prove it, but we can sure see a lot of people dying all of a sudden. Yep. And an attempt to poison everything that humans depend on for their survival. The food, the water, the air. You name it. It's really incredible. All right. So the book is called Mod RNA, like mRNA, but modified RNA. And it's available at tomrenz.com. It's available at Barnes & Noble. It's available at Amazon and other booksellers as well. And as we wrap this up, Thomas, any final thoughts you want to leave us with today?
Well, I'm excited about the book. We've got a bunch of books we're going to be publishing. We're going to try and put out a bunch of essays to help people have answers, how to fight back, how to talk about things. You know, I mean, being able to communicate about these things in real simple, easy ways, it's a big deal. So that's coming. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff coming. We're working on trying to raise enough money to do some giant lawsuits. We've got some really good things that are there, but I mean, that just takes time and effort. And, you know, the courts go after good lawyers. So if we do it without having the right resources, yeah, they'll just come after my license again for the 900th time.
Right, right. So in other words, folks, not only can you get an incredible book that's going to give you knowledge and arm you with information that can help you make better decisions, you'll also be helping to support Thomas Renz and his legal efforts that are fighting for humanity every single day. You've done extraordinary work in that area, Tom, helped so many people, including many people that I know personally. So I want to thank you for that effort. You're a voice, you're a warrior of truth and freedom for humanity.
It's my honor. I mean, that's all I ever want to do is just want to be some guy fighting for people.
Well, you're doing it. Then you're living the dream, I guess.
I am. You know, I am. Some days it doesn't feel it, but it's always, you know what, Mike, at the end of the day, it's been 3.5 years. I haven't slept. I miss my family. I've given everything that I had to this. I promised God that if he put it in front of me, I'd fight it. And I have given everything I have. And after 3.5 years, I'm tired, but my soul's not weary. And when I look at my boys, I know that I'm proud of what I've done for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's hell. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I'm with you on that, brother. Feel the same way right here in my studio doing what I do, bringing voices like yours to the world. So we thank you.
I'm honored. I'm honored. Honored to call you a friend, Mike. I appreciate it.
You too, Thomas. You're greatly appreciated. And thank you for taking the time today. And folks, again, the book is Mod RNA, and the website is tomrenz.com. That's R-E-N-Z. So thank you for joining us today, and feel free to share this message, copy this video if you want, post it elsewhere, and help spread the word so that humanity may have a chance to survive the global depopulation effort that has been unleashed against us all, no matter what our religion, race, or ethnicity, by the way. We are all human. We're all being targeted. Never forget that. They want to divide us. But it's actually globalists against all human beings, no matter where we come from. Thank you for watching today. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care. Today's program is brought to you by Goldbacks, and you can go to my website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, in order to see all our lab testing results of these really innovative bills that have physical gold embedded in them. I've got a little stack of them in my hands here. These are the one gold backs. Each of these contains quite literally 1/1,000th of a troy ounce of gold inside the bill. The gold is actually in there. And there are other denominations, fives, tens, 25s, and 50s. The 50, of course, contains 50 1/1,000ths of an ounce of gold. And I didn't even believe that at first. And so I acquired a bunch of these and I did the testing. If you go to my website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, you can see the laboratory testing that we did. And here I am. I bought a kiln. I did the meltdowns. We used acid also. You know, nitric acid here did a dissolving into a mass spec analysis in my laboratory. Here's some of the melted gold that came out of the kiln test. And here's some of the weights and so on. On this website, you can see, let me scroll down. You can see the actual recoveries. There's some of the gold foil that comes out in the first melting. There's the picture of the kiln. And there's some, well, different photos of the dust and everything that comes out. Bottom line is in this chart right here. The recovery that we got, the amount of gold that we got out of these bills, it was over 100% of the claimed amount in every single case. The lowest we got was 102%. The highest we got was 107%. And then we did ICP-MS testing here. And these are the results we got showing that it is better than 99.99% atomic gold, which makes it better than 24 karat gold. So, bottom line, not only are the gold backs real, not only do they contain the gold that they claim to contain, and it's pure gold or, you know, 24 karat plus in purity, but they're highly divisible. So I can take these and I can, you know, I can give somebody or I can pay for something with 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold. Which I can't do that with a coin. Like here I have silver coins, but I can't take like a pair of scissors and cut off 1/1,000th of an ounce of silver or gold. It just doesn't work that way, and I would ruin the coin. So gold backs make gold really usable, divisible, and it works in an off-grid situation. Power grid goes down, you may not have access to your crypto. You certainly won't have access to your bank account in that grid down scenario. These work. These work, and the gold is instantly visible. Gold backs are becoming increasingly recognizable, and people love the way they look, and they love to hold on to these, and more people are willing to take them, even as merchants, for purchases. So go to verifiedgoldbacks.com to learn about these. This is an affiliate site. We do earn a small commission on the sales of these at no additional cost to you. So it does help support this platform, but you'll get these in your hands. Now you might ask, well, what's the price of these compared to the price of actual gold? Okay, it is cheaper to buy raw gold by itself per ounce if you just want a gold coin or a gold bar. This has a premium over the price of gold because of the format and the divisibility and the precision and the printing technology and all of that. But it also means these have value over gold as they are accepted and recognized by merchants. So if you just want raw gold, you know, get gold coins. But how are you going to divide them up? How are you going to really use them in day-to-day transactions? If you want usable gold, goldbacks are a great solution for that. And I think these can be part of every person's preparedness. If you already have gold and silver, maybe you already have garden seeds, maybe you already have other assets, but do you have goldbacks yet? This is something important to add. And they also make really incredible, highly educational gifts. I've been tipping waiters and waitresses at restaurants with this, and then I have a little conversation with them about real money. Like, this is real gold, you know, versus fiat currency. And you can give them as gifts to family members, you know, birthdays and holidays and whatever else. And you can teach children or grandchildren about what is real money. And they will hold on to these because the artwork is amazing. They're beautiful. People will hold on to these and they'll see the value rise as the value of gold rises because these contain physical gold. As gold goes up, goldbacks go up versus the dollar that's going down. And who knows in how many years, you know, what these will be worth versus the increasingly collapsing dollar. So I don't encourage speculation, just to be clear. I'm not saying speculate in it, but just to hold on to value that you have right now, just to kind of freeze, you know, your savings. I don't trust that the dollar is going to be here 10 years down the road. I know the dollar is not going to hold its own value, but I have absolute certainty that gold is going to continue to hold value. And as dollars drop, that means the price of gold in dollars will be rising, even if gold itself is still worth the same in terms of purchasing power. But in dollar denominations, gold will appear to be going up in terms of dollars. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, do your own research. I'm not your financial advisor, obviously. Do your own research. Get your own experts. Do what's right for you. Only you know your financial situation and your risk and so on. And could these go down in value? Well, if gold goes down, these will go down in value. If you think gold's going to go down over the next 10 years, then, you know, maybe you can buy Apple stock or something. I don't know. But if you think gold's going to go up or hold its own, then this is a great way to have physical gold in a usable form. So check it out at verifiedgoldbacks.com. And thank you for supporting us also. But more importantly, you know, thank you for protecting your own assets. We're going into some very interesting times in the years ahead. Thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams for Brighteon.com. Take care.